Hello and what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Wind Up Podcast. This episode, I can't even begin to describe how excited I am. We've got arguably the craziest news we've been able to share with you. Someone has officially taken the lead and taken on the big guys and some of the bullshit and the nonsense that we deal with in this industry. This episode, we're naming names. We're talking shit. We're talking numbers. And my goodness, I cannot be more excited for where this leads in the grand scheme of the wine industry. Before we get into it, of course, I got a couple of quick announcements. Very quick. I'll make it fast because I can barely contain myself. I've got goosebumps thinking about this episode. And here we go. First and foremost, of course, thank you all for liking, sharing, subscribing the show. Be sure to subscribe and hit like and give us a quick rating or review wherever you're consuming the podcast. It'll be greatly helpful in the algorithm and sharing with people all over the country and all over the world. Be sure to follow us on all of our social networks. We are on The Book of Face, the social network formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. The latter two, Instagram and YouTube in particular, we are the most active. At MTGA Wines will be the handle on any of those social networks to keep in touch. All of those places are also where you can submit questions for our monthly Q&A episodes that happen at the end of the month. If there's anything in particular you would like to know more about when it comes to wine, winemaking, hospitality, the business, we dive into those questions at the end of every month. And that's how you submit them. You can also head to our website, mtgawines.com. Scroll down on the homepage a little ways. There's a little email form. You can submit questions. That way you can also sign up for our newsletter, find out a little bit more about us, our wines, what we're all about, all that good stuff. Last and certainly not least, this episode is brought to you by our traveling band, the Napa Independent Producers. We are hitting the road this November. We are going to be in Charlotte, Atlanta, and Tampa, because luckily Hurricane Milton didn't destroy Tampa. So heart goes out to all those that were hugely impacted. I know we've been texting with friends and all that good stuff, but both in the Carolinas as well as down in Florida and all around the East Coast. But we're going to head your way, get you some great wines, and hopefully you'll be able to attend one of those events. You can head to our website, mtgawines.com/shop. Right at the top of our page there in the shopping area, you can find tickets to all those events. It's only $125 a person. What do you get for that? You get to taste wines from six producers, including ourselves. Can you imagine buying a plane ticket, the hotel room, renting a car, getting out to Napa, and going to pay for those tastings? Right. It's expensive. It's crazy. So we're bringing the wine to you for a fraction of the price. Head to our website, buy tickets now. There are only a handful available for each of those locales. We also have another event in Atlanta that we'll be have more information and details on here shortly. So check out the website. That's where you can find all of that information. Okay, here we go, folks. Buckle in. The industry has taken a big shot over the last week and a half or so. This article that I'm referencing was released on October 9th, 1 week ago. And it was published by the San Francisco Chronicle by a friend and great writer, Jess Lander. Highly recommend you check out what she has to say about the wine industry. She does an excellent job. And this article in particular is just, oh, it's a beautiful thing, you guys. I can't even begin to tell you. Now, the link to that article is in the description of the podcast, of the video here. If you want to go check it out, go show it some love. Click on the things, give it a lot of views, all that good stuff. Now, when something shakes up in the industry like this, would it happen in California and Napa? Possibly. Oregon, Washington? Sure. Even Texas. The Finger Lakes? France, Italy, Spain, I don't know. Could happen any number of places. In this lovely instance, it happened in none of those areas. It happened in a place that isn't even particularly known for wine, other than I know there's a lot of wine drinkers out there because I've been there a few times. Good old Leawood, Kansas. Shout out to Kansas. And this little shop known as Ranch Mart, maybe it's a big shop, I'm actually going to be in that neighborhood here in a few weeks. I'm probably going to go there and give somebody a hug or a high five or something. Leawood, Kansas. This is where the moving and shaking of the wine industry is happening right now. And it happened with a general manager of Ranchmart, Travis Johnson. This is in the article, so I'm not putting anybody on blast. You can look it up if you want and read it. And I quote the title of the article. He criticized one of California's most popular wines. Then he got a letter from its lawyers. Oh, yes. Someone went out there headhunting. And guess what they did? They took on Meiomi. The former Wagner project that is now owned by Constellation Brands. Good on Joe Wagner selling that bad boy for $315 million. And this fine gentleman decided to go toe-to-toe with them. How? Why did he do that? Well, let's give you a little bit of background. In this particular shop, there was a lovely little advertisement that was, in essence, just a Meiomi versus another brand. In this case, it was a Pinot Noir by the name of Dial Tone, made by Adam Lee, I believe of Siduri wine fame. And this advertisement said as follows. There is less sugar in 32 bottles of Dial Tone Pinot Noir than there is in just one, count them, one bottle of Meiomi Pinot Noir. Oh, it's good. Oh, just hitting the nail right on the head, calling him out. David versus Goliath going nose to nose. This is just fantastic. The stuff dreams are made of, the stuff great stories are made of. Guess what happened? Probably some sales rep, somebody noticed, sent it up the food chain at Constellation, who didn't take too kindly to having their lovely brand known as Meiomi disparaged. So what happened? There you got a hold of their legal team. Their legal team sent a strongly worded letter, in essence stating that there's probably no possible way that they could possibly identify exactly how much sugar is in Meiomi, how it could potentially compare to this other brand, Dial Tone, that this borders on false advertising, and man, you're going to hear about it. And the gentleman who put this advertisement together admitted to the fact that he, quote, was poking the bear a little bit. Yeah, no shit. It's more like shooting the bear with a 22 and hoping for the best. But guess what? That 22 was no ordinary 22 rifle. This man did the thing that many of us have talked about, that many of us wish we had the balls to do. That fucker kept receipts is what he did. You know what he did? He had the wines analyzed through a third-party independent laboratory that showed that the 2021 vintage of Meiomi had 19.4 grams per liter of sugar. So just for those that are keeping track, a bottle of wine is 3/4 of a liter. So to put that into perspective for you all, 19.4 times 0.75, you have roughly 14.5 grams of sugar per bottle of Meiomi, right? That's the quick math for you there. I still had to do it on a calculator, hence you might have heard some clicking in the background. Now, this Dial Tone Pinot Noir, he submitted a sample of the 2022 vintage, a different vintage, albeit. All right, cool, whatever. Can you guess how much sugar was in that? If you read the article now, if you took a little pause in the podcast to go do some reading, you know by now that there was 0.6 tenths of a gram of sugar per liter, which is roughly 32 times less than Mayomi. Oh, the math was so easy. This lovely gentleman sent this information back and said, hey, here are the receipts. The test was run. This is objective. If you would like to run your own test on your wine, you probably have a sample of it laying around. And if you would like to buy a bottle of Dial Tone, then please do so and run your own test and you can confirm these results. Not only that, he ran a second test on the 2022 Mayomi, a newer vintage, as well as a newer vintage of the Dial Tone, the 2023. And it turns out it was worse. There's slightly less sugar in both of them. However, the ratio was that there was 45 times more sugar in Mayomi than there was in this Dial Tone Pinot Noir for the newer vintages. To make matters a little bit worse, I suppose, potentially, you look at our friendly neighbors to the north, good old Canada, the Liquor Control Board of Ontario. And I will tell you, the Liquor Control Boards of Canada are no joke. You better have your numbers in line and the labels better be accurate, because they run all those numbers themselves to double check to make sure you're not full of shit. And the most recent release of Mayomi, the 2023 Pinot Noir, clocked in at 21 grams of sugar per liter, more than the other two. You could say that there's been a trend in that style of wine. Now, what on earth do we do as an industry? What on earth do consumers do with this kind of information? Before we start to ponder the what ifs and where this goes, I want to give you all a little perspective, because I'm sure there are some of you out there. In fact, many of you have told me this, that you want to know this kind of stuff. You want to know what these big players are doing. You want to know the numbers. And more often than not, I've said, it's just, we can't. Because we are going up against these Goliath companies with full legal teams, we will get destroyed. There's a lot of money at stake. And when you start trying to interfere with somebody's profits, boy howdy, you might be in for a reckoning. To make matters worse, it is a very small industry. It's a very small community. I have a friend of mine, actually, who works for Joe Wagner's newer company, Copper Cane Vineyards. He might still be working there. I think he is. Do we really want to start talking shit about these people? Not that he was ever directly involved with Mayomi. I don't believe he was. But even so, do we want to start lighting bridges on fire and hoping for the best? Do we want to possibly ruin our own reputations and relationships by talking this shit? That has been the issue. That has been a huge issue. Because the reality is, and this is where many of us have kind of conceded to this issue, is that, you know what, say what you will about Mayomi, this is what we all talk about, that it's a very sweet, that is an over-manipulated, allegedly, wine. But you know what? It's introducing people to wine. It's getting people to drink wine. Is that not important, especially when the wine industry is playing third fiddle to beer and alcohol in a huge way? Beer and liquor, that is. So maybe there's an upside. The American palate tends to prefer sweeter things, just in general, not just wine. You know, maybe as much as we like to rag on this brand or The Prisoner or a Camus or insert any other big name here that may or may not have sweeter style wines, I mean, who knows? I haven't personally run lab tests on those wines. I couldn't even tell you. I know they're mass produced. I know a lot of it's made, right? I'm sure there's a lot of manufacturing that goes into them, because typically there has to at a certain scale. They're not doing punch downs by hand on those bad boys. They're probably not using, you know, barrels all the time. They're probably using oak chips or adjuncts. Maybe they're not. I don't know. We can assume a lot of things. And because we're assuming a lot of things, we weren't going to put our necks under the guillotine. And realistically, it wasn't going to be worth it. We're going to, you know, for many of you that have sat down with me at the tasting table or attended some of our events around the country, you know that I open up about this kind of stuff. Many winemakers do. because we want you to know what goes into our wines versus other people's wines and what differentiates the two. What differentiates a small production versus a large production, right? This is the kind of stuff we want to talk about. And we try to do it in a way where we're not being disrespectful and in a way where we're not going to get a letter from a legal department, because we can't afford to fight that battle, very typically. When it comes to this issue of what actually goes into wine, not just how much sugar is in wine, but all the other things that could potentially be added to wine to create a certain style or a certain beverage, I do truly believe it needed to be someone like this. It needed to be something on the outside of the supplier part of the industry. It couldn't be another winery. Why couldn't it be another winery? Because that could be perceived as just talking shit because we're trying to steal market share from them. You know, I've made a Pinot Noir before. I'm sure this Dial Tone Pinot Noir has been around for at least a little bit. You know, this could easily be construed as like, oh, you're just hating on the big guys and you're trying to steal some of their business away from them. Right? It could just be brushed off as like, oh, you're just jealous. And I think that would be a fairly reasonable assumption. So I think this needed to be done with something just like this. Something that was a little tongue-in-cheek. Something that someone really didn't think much of. They just thought, oh, this is an interesting stat. This is a great way to promote this, what we consider to be a, you know, high-quality wine versus this kind of mass-produced wine. Let's go for it. Probably not assuming that anyone was going to get, you know, a letter from some lawyers. Probably assuming that when the rep that sells Meiomi to this particular shop comes in, they'd probably be a little pissed off, but you know what? There's still an endless supply of Meiomi coming their way. There's still a bunch to sell. It's still a successful business. Maybe they would just brush it off, but no, it got sent up the food chain and here we are. Here we are. It needed to be something. It needed to happen like this. Any other winery doing this kind of stuff, it just wouldn't work, I don't think. You needed to have someone that was a little bit removed from us, the supplier side of the industry, that did something like this to kind of really stir the pot. Now that this is out there, what happens next? And this is the question that is just going to be the most important. Is this actually going to shake anything up? Because as the article states, and I believe the gentleman who runs the shop or someone in the article stated, you know, 19 grams per liter of sugar in a wine versus one that has less than 1 gram per liter is an enormous difference. Can you even classify these two wines, even though they're the same grape? Can you even classify them in the same way? Should there be some sort of way that wines can be distinguished so that if someone is looking for something like a Meiomi that is overtly sweet, just so you're aware, a typical wine drinker can, you know, perceive sugar, like something can feel sweet when there's about 2 to 3 grams of sugar per liter. So obviously this Meiomi is, you know, 6 times or so past that. It's pretty easy to tell this is a very sweet wine. Should that be in a different category? Should it be labeled differently in the shop? Should there be something on the wine label itself that discloses that? That is what we're trying to figure out now. Now, obviously, this article's a week old. This information's all brand new. It's going to be a while until we see this play out. In fact, we're still waiting to see whether or not this store stays in business, depending on how many lawsuits they get slapped with after this particular issue. Granted, I think they covered their ass pretty well. I mean, if you have an independent laboratory run these numbers for you, I mean, what's to argue with? Any one of you listening to this could literally go buy wine off the shelf, submit it to this lab, and get the results. There's nothing stopping you. You're not actually able to see like what ingredients they use, what kind of processes they use, any additives or anything they use. You're not going to be able to garner that kind of information. So as far as like their MO or their recipe is concerned, that's pretty safe. But you can do just a chemistry lab and figure out, you know, what's actually going on here. In fact, let me give you a little something. Let me give you a little taste of what we're talking about here. Because this is kind of what this information looks like. It's really not particularly exciting. I mean, I find it exciting because you get to see, you know, kind of where things are at. Let me go ahead and open up this page here. Oh, let me open this up in a different page. I don't need you all seeing all my business emails. Those will be very, very boring. Okay. So let's see what we got going on here. These are from a little while ago. But these are some of our 2020 wines, actually. This is a report that we received in our 2020 wines. If you're listening and not watching the episode, you won't be able to see this, obviously. But I'll try and walk through it as best I can. Okay. So we'll focus on these top two. There are three here. You can see all the numbers kind of highlighted. Everything is roughly in the same order. These are the lab results for our 2020 Cabernet Franc, 2020 Cabernet Sauvignon, as well as our 2020 Repechage Red Blend. These are all from a while ago. This is actually about 3-4 months before they would have been bottled. So these numbers will have changed because of the blending that we did to put these wines together. But this is what you kind of look at with these lab reports. Up here, you can see the sulfur dioxide, which is sulfites, SO2, for those that aren't familiar. You can see what the concentration is, both how much is actually available to protect the wine and how much has been added in total. You can see the amount of acidity in the wine. You can check the pH. You can check sugar, the volatile acidity, and how much alcohol is actually in there. In all of these wines, you can actually see our Cab Franc had 0.2 grams per liter of sugar, our Cabernet Sauvignon had 0.2 grams per liter of sugar, and our Red Blend had 0.5. So actually, you know, less or at least in the ballpark of this dial tone wine that was featured in the article, which is what we try and achieve. So that's what those lab reports look like. It's just a very quick numbers. It doesn't even, you can't see anything else in terms of like their standards and their practices of their winemaking team. So it's pretty bare bones information. There's really not going to be a lot of other like details you can garner from that other than, you know, maybe inferring some things here or there. It's not really that exciting. Again, it's just a lab report. But again, anybody can do it. We do it on our wines because it's nice to have that third party to blame if something, you know, it goes wrong, to make sure that, you know, we're not full of shit. We double check our work. We use a third party to do it. That way, if you're trying to figure out what the numbers are on our wines, we publish all that information on our website. You can see exactly what we're talking about. And we have these third party reports to back that up. That's a great way to go about it, which is why I'm hoping this shop and this individual are not going to be in a lot of trouble, because they're not saying anything that wouldn't be readily available to any just casual consumer if they really wanted to know. The issue, of course, is that how many of you are actually going to hunt down who these labs are, where they're located, buy the wine, and submit samples to them? That's the bigger issue. It's a lot of a hop, skip, and a jumping to get to that final number. It also costs some money to run a full lab report like I just showed you. Is about $130, $140, something like that. Like, it's not nothing. But you do that for everyone in a grocery store, that's pretty expensive. And I guarantee you that all those wines in that grocery store have those reports. I guarantee you they have them. They just don't publish them. So that's the issue, right? Is that if there's this huge divide, potentially, between just like these two wines, this Meiomi and Dial Tone, that stylistically, they're so different. There's such a huge gap to be bridged between the amount of just sugar that's in one versus the other. Why on earth is that information not readily available to you all? And this is something, this is why I got so excited when I saw this article, because as some of you know who have been listening to the show for a while, And maybe some of you are newer and haven't been listening quite as long, but this is something we have been preaching since day one. In fact, this issue is the reason I started this show in the first place, because I wanted the wine industry to start being more transparent. And I figured, you know what? We might be a small brand. The overwhelming majority of wine drinkers have never heard of us, nor will they ever hear of our wine brand. And that's okay. But for the people that get to know us, for the people that are into fine wine, for the people that are trying to learn more and understand what they're actually putting in their body when they're consuming a wine, we and I felt the need to start showing people what's behind this fucking curtain that these big producers don't want you to see. And now I can sit here and confidently say, like, hey, based on this article that this friend of mine wrote, based on these lab reports, Meiomi has a shit ton of sugar in it. Go figure. This is something that it sucks because those of us in the industry, like, we've known this. We all know this. We all know the tricks of the trade and how some of these wines get made. A lot of it is inferred. Many of us don't run the numbers. But when we taste a wine like this, it's easy for us to tell. Because we drink a lot of wine. Are we experts? Maybe. But we at least we know a thing or two. And when something tastes overtly sweet, it's like we caught your hand in the cookie jar. Like what are you trying? Like, don't try and hide it. You know? The amount of producers and tastings I've done where I'm like, oh, this seems like it's got a little residual. I'm like, oh, no, we try and make good dry wines. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Do you have? And I don't push. I don't pry. But in my head, I'm like, you sure? You might want to double check the lab report because, man, it sure tastes sweet. There are so many brands, even to this day, where I'm like, I used to love them. I don't drink them anymore because they're like this. They're sugary grape drink. And some people love that. My in-laws love it. Many people around this fine country love it. The amount of people, oh my gosh. I've probably mentioned this, actually, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the show before, but Meiomi is a great example. Because when I sit down with people and we're conducting a tasting out at the winery, I typically ask, you know, what do you drink at home? What do you normally enjoy? Because we got a bunch of different wines that we could try here. Let's try and zero in on what you enjoy. We hear Pinot Noir a lot. We hear Pinot Noir a lot. You know what brands we hear more than anything else? Meiomi and Bella Gloss. Those are the two. And I don't know about the chemistry in Bella Gloss, but we now all know, because of this article, how much sugar's in Meiomi. Is it any wonder why Pinot Noir has been like our slowest seller? No. I've known why it is. It's because it's not sugary grape drink that has become popular and, in my opinion, is masquerading as fine wine. I am so happy. It might sound like this is a little bit of a venting session, but I am like giddy as a schoolboy. Good old Indiana Jones and Last Crusade reference. Rarely am I giddy. I don't mind rats so much, like Sean Connery did in the movie. But, man, it's just, I'm almost speechless. I'm just so excited. Because I'm halfway considering this. Because there have been many of you, who have said, this is the kind of stuff we want to know. What's it going to take? When will you start naming names? Because I've said this many times on this show that I would love to, but I can't. I got to protect, you know, some relationships. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. I'm trying to play nice. I'm going to kind of insinuate certain things. I'm not going to bring up brand names. I'll tell you what. I'll make you a deal. Listen closely, because there is kind of a caveat to this. Is, if you would like to know the numbers on a particular wine. Number one, if any of you are MTGA fans, you've had our wines before, you can go to our website right now and see this information. On our homepage, there's a little wine by the numbers link. If you scroll down a bit, you can find every wine we've ever made, how we've made it, exactly how much sugar is in it per liter, just like the lab report stated in the article and the ones that I showed here on the show. You can find all this information. We've got it published. We're already ahead of the game. So if you're really curious, please go check it out. But if you personally, if there's a wine you want to know the numbers on, let me know. Slide into our DMs. Now, it does come at a cost. As I mentioned, these lab reports aren't particularly cheap. So we'll find a way to exchange funds. I'll start a brand new website of some sort, and we'll just start posting this information. We'll find a nice, maybe kind of like seller tracker-esque style of website where we can start promoting, that might be a little harsh, but at least posting this information. If any of you are on board with that, want to see what happens, drop me a line, slide into our DMs, send me an email. We'll see what happens. We're probably going to get sued, so one of you better be a lawyer that will do this case pro bono, because I don't have any money for lawyers right now. I've got grapes to pay for, so it's still harvest after all. It's time to talk that shit. It's time to get it out there and say, let's go for it. Maybe we'll even add like a wine by the numbers segment to the show. At the end of the show, we'll kind of highlight a certain wine and see how it actually shapes up. Now, as I mentioned, when it comes to the lab report that I showed you, it's very finite. We can basically double check the sugar level, the alcohol level, you know, stuff like that. It's pretty basic stuff. But if you really want to know, maybe we'll do it. If any of you get a wild hair, you want to, you know, try and keep one of these big producers honest with me, let's go for it. Let's see what's up. Man, we're going to get in so much trouble. I know there's a few of you already chomping at the bit. I dare you to challenge me not to do this. Oh, God, this is going to create such a mess. So I think this is going to open up a can of worms. At least I really hope it does. My fear is that there's going to be some kind of like cease and desist. Obviously, Constellation is going to try and make this go away. I don't think there's going to be... I mean, I hope for Jess's sake, because she's a great writer, and this article, I hope, does really great stuff for the industry. I hope this gets way more airtime than I think it's going to. For some reason, there's my inner pessimist that's like, this thing's going to get swept under the rug. Not enough people are going to see this, and it's just going to be like it never happened. It's going to move on to business as usual, and nothing about our industry is going to change. So, which is why I'm like, hey, let's start doing this more often. Let's post up these results. Let's start something here. And two, I think I'm going to throw a little responsibility on you guys. If you are truly interested in fine wine, if you have friends that are into fine wine, you know, as much as I want people to listen to the podcast and you guys share this episode with them, don't even worry about that. I mean, please do, but don't even worry about it. Just share them the link to this article, especially if they're big Meiomi fans, and just be like, hey, just so you're aware, like, you're drinking sugared, like, a lot of it. And if you're okay with that, kind of like we mentioned towards the beginning of the show, if you're okay with that, great. More power to you. But you should at least give consumers the option to be educated, the option to garner information about what it is they're drinking, about what they're eating, so on, so forth, and such as. There's no reason that it should come down to something like this, where there's a bunch of us in the industry who are frankly too scared to do anything about it out of fear of retribution and being ostracized. It shouldn't be this way. And now, maybe, this is going to allow us to be much more transparent, allow us to keep wine labels and brands honest, and move forward to make better wine, higher quality wine, or at the very least, give you all the information you deserve so that you can make a good, educated decision with your dollars and your buying power and your strength as a consumer. That is what it's all about. Please do read the article. Check out the link in the description of the video. Be sure to follow us on all of our social networks at MTGA Wines, primarily Instagram and YouTube, although you can also find us on the Book of Face and social network formerly known as Twitter. Check out our events in Charlotte, Atlanta, and Tampa. Stay tuned for more events that we're going to be announcing as this year goes on and as we get into 2025. I love you guys. Have an amazing rest of your day, week. We will see you next time on the Wind Up Podcast. Cheers.